Healer, Episode 3. Written by J.K. Swift, author of the Forest Nights series. Performed by Brad Wills. To learn more about the author, please visit jkswift.com. Dina treated the two men as best she could, and then had Speller help her get Cairn to a place in the woods away from the bloody clearing. While Cairn slept, she and Speller built a fire to ward off the approaching cool night air, and Dina began to prepare the mud-like mixtures of herbs, minerals, and earth that would make up the weapon salve. Speller unrolled the sack he had wrapped Danley's blade in and laid it in front of the fire. The light danced along the flawless blade, emphasizing a series of small symbols etched near the handguard. He looked more closely at the symbols without touching the blade itself.
I had to cut this out of Danley's hand. Even in death he wouldn't give it up. These symbols look like some kind of picture. Wonder what they mean.
Dina looked at the markings and caught her breath.
I can read them. They're a written form of a rare dialect that was used in the Midlands more than 400 years ago.
Speller's eyes narrowed.
How is it that you know this?
Master Quesnel taught me when I was a child. I never thought anything of it.
She looked at Speller. A vision of Danley addressing her as Keeper flashed unbidden through her mind.
They say Quelivan. It's a feminine name, but the characters that make it up can also be translated as Mistress of Thirst.
She paused, and her eyes widened.
What is it?
Speller asked. Her finger hovered above another complex symbol set apart from the others.
This is the stamp of Luthien Samasa, a sword maker of that age.
Her voice broke. She couldn't believe what she was saying.
I've heard the legends of the Samasan blades,
Speller said.
His skills were unequaled, but all the weapons he produced were cursed.
Dina shook her head. Her heart felt like it was going to burst in her chest.
That's not entirely true. The early blades Samasa forged were mostly long swords and pikes, weapons that were straight and true.
She looked at Speller and began to recount a tale she knew only too well.
When Luthien Samasa was a young man, it was said he had a gift from the gods, and his creations gleamed with a divine brilliance. It was King Boric III who changed all that. He took Samasa's wife hostage and forced the swordmaker to create weapons for the king's army. Days stretched into months and then years, until finally Samasa's wife could no longer endure being separated from her husband, and she hung herself from the rafters. Something in Samasa changed after that, but he continued to forge weapons for the king. From that point on, however, he never made another straight blade. He poured his anguish and longing for his dead wife into wickedly curved weapons whose enchantments were so strong that they eventually destroyed the minds of those who carried them.
Speller winced as he shifted his arm slightly in its sling.
So, what became of Samasa?
After years of death and corrupted minds, King Boric realized the blades were cursed. He ordered Samasa put to death, and he formed a special force to tour the lands and collect all the Samasan blades, both good and evil works. For it was discovered that the only way to destroy a cursed Samasan blade was by striking it over and over again with one of Samasa's earlier creations, which would destroy both blades in the process.
Dina tried to keep all emotion out of her voice as she recounted the condensed version of the story told to her so often in her childhood. Each time, Master Quesnel would tell a different portion of the story. She always liked hearing about Luthien's wedding and how he and his wife were so happy together, but Dina often refused to listen to the latter parts. When Quesnel got to the hostage part, Dina would make some feeble excuse and run away to do some important errand. But she had to listen now. That story had become her reality. She was a keeper.
Dina, I know what is going through that pretty head of yours,
Speller said, regarding her closely.
And I don't pretend to know what kind of game old Quesnel is playing at here, but there is no way I'm going to let you take that Hellblade and wander off in search of some other sword that probably doesn't even exist anymore. And if Cairn were awake, he'd be saying the exact same.
Dina didn't know what to say. She scooped up a handful of the muddy weapon salve heating over the fire and dropped it on the blade. It slid away cleanly, the blade still gleaming brilliantly at her. She picked up the pot and poured the entire contents over the blade. A burning scent filled the air, but the weapon remained covered, and a minute later the mixture began to harden. Dina breathed a sigh of relief and put a fresh pot of water over the fire.
It will need to stay covered with the salve for 3 days and nights to completely sever any hold it has over Master Quesnel and Cairn.
Speller nodded.
How long before Cairn will be able to travel?
At least 2 days. He is fevered, so we must make him drink water, even if he isn't fully awake.
Well, water is something we do have lots of, and if we run out, we passed a stream a ways back.
Speller slid himself up against a tree and grimaced as he pulled his cloak over his broken arm.
I'll take first watch. You get yourself some sleep so you can look after your patients. Tomorrow, we'll decide on what's to be done with the blade.
Dina nodded and handed Speller a cup of steaming tea.
Here, drink this. It'll help with the pain.
Pain? Darling, this isn't nothing compared to some of the scrapes I've been in. But I'll drink that hot tea because it's getting chilly. And when you start to get older, the cold seems to seep into your bones all that much faster.
He took a long sip of the steaming liquid and then continued.
But you can take any of that pain medicine right out because me and pain, well, we have an understanding.
Dina curled up next to Cairn in front of the fire and waited for the tea to take effect. Speller's words began to slow down and drift.
You know, he'll come after you.
Who?
Dina asked, not sure if she heard Speller's mumbled words correctly.
The boy. Cairn. He's a good tracker. Taught him.
The older man's words finally stopped altogether. Then Dina heard the sound of the empty metal cup fall to the ground. She got up and checked that Speller was sleeping in a good position and adjusted his cloak. Then she went and knelt beside Cairn. She caressed his face gently. The growing stubble was much softer than it looked. He was still hot, but the fever was breaking. The weapon salve was already working. Her hand began to tremble, and the tears that she had refused to acknowledge earlier now welled up in her eyes. She felt betrayed by her master, and in the same beat of her heart, knew that Quesnel had done everything possible to prepare her for this moment. Who better to entrust a vile weapon to than someone who abhors the very thought of violence? Dina brushed the tears from her cheeks and made a silent oath. She would keep the weapon hidden and never let it get a hold over her as it did Danley. No one must ever find out she had it, for the thought of the blade falling into the hands of the wrong person made her shudder. Somewhere out there was an untainted Samson blade waiting to be found.
Dina believed this with all her heart. She had to.
She leaned over and kissed Cairn softly on the lips. Her mind raced with images of what could have been, perhaps what should have been. She stood slowly, and after rolling up Quelevon in its protective mud sheath, Dina led her mare into the dark woods without looking back. The beginning. The healer's story continues in Farrier, Keepers of Quelevon, Volume 2. This has been Healer, Episode 3, written by J.K. Swift, author of the Forest Nights series, performed by Brad Wills. To learn more about the author, please visit jkswift.com. Production services by SpellboundAudio.com.